Well, it's good to have a few visitors with us here this morning, some from as far away as Melbourne and South Australia as well. So great to have you with us sharing in our service here today. It is Mother's Day, a special day that we pay tribute to mothers and all the hard work that they do in being mothers and being wives and raising children. And so we want to celebrate this day on their behalf this morning. So let's pray as we come to look at what God's word has to say to us about mothers. Our Father, we thank you that we can be here today, and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for our mothers and all that they have contributed to our lives. And Lord, we just thank you that you have provided for us in many different ways. And we thank you for your arrangement for families and your plan and purpose for society in this way. And so we pray today you'll teach us to understand your word in a new way, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we are making mention of mothers today, a special time in our year to pay tribute to our mums, to honour all those who carry that awesome responsibility of motherhood. It's a greatly underestimated and often an under-acknowledged role and responsibility, especially in our society today. But mothers are the vehicle through which the next generation of human beings find themselves entering into our world. And God is a great designer, and I'm so glad that he decided that mothers were to be the ones to bring children into this world and not fathers. His plans are always best, aren't they? It's always valuable to hear children's perspectives on mothers. And a while ago, a survey was done of some year two students to get their responses to questions about their mothers. And so here are six questions that were put to them and some of their responses that were given. First question was, why did God make mothers? Well, the top answer was mostly to clean the house. And then secondly, to help us get out of there when we were getting born. The second question was, why did God give you your mother and not some other mum? And the answer given was, we're related. And then secondly, God knew she liked me a lot more than other people's mums like me. The third question was, why did your mum marry your dad? The answer given, she got too old to do anything else with him. And then the second response was, my grandma says that mum didn't have her thinking cap on. The fourth question, who is the boss at your house? And the top answer was, I guess mum is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad. The fifth question, what does your mum do in her spare time? Top answer given was, mothers don't do spare time. And then the last question, what would it take to make your mum perfect? The answer was, well, on the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. They're all survey responses. Mothers have been endowed with many great qualities, haven't they? And they've been given those qualities by God. Qualities that enable them to be suited for the task of caring for their children. Although most mothers at some time or another have felt inadequate for the task that was before them, and maybe on many occasions. But this morning I wish to look for a moment at a man who had two mothers and consider some of the challenges they had to face in raising him. This man is very familiar to us because we've been looking at his life over the past number of months, and his name is Moses. You see, Moses had two mothers because he had a biological mother and he also had an adoptive mother. And I realise this morning that for some of you, your memories of your mother may not be all positive. The background circumstances of your life may have caused pain and heartache in your childhood. Maybe you've had an adoptive parent who has been the primary caregiver in your life. Whatever your circumstances, you can be thankful for those who have given vital input into your formative years. For Moses, both the women in his life had extremely important roles to play in his upbringing. Vastly different and yet incredibly important to prepare him for what God had in store in the future. So we're looking at some admirable qualities of Moses' mother. Obviously Moses had a mother and a father. Amram and Jochebed was their names. And the birth of Moses takes place, as we have been studying over the past number of months, in extremely difficult times in the life of the Hebrew people. And just to remind you afresh that the Hebrew people were becoming very populous in Egypt at this time. There are probably around 2 million of them who were there under slavery to the Egyptian people. And a new pharaoh has come on the scene who is not as favourable towards them as the earlier ones were. He doesn't know about or doesn't want to know about the significance of Joseph's contribution to Egypt, which is why the Hebrew people ended up being in that nation under God's direction. All this pharaoh sees is a nation within his own nation that is in danger of outgrowing his own people. And he sees this as a threat for a possible uprising and decides he must limit the population growth. And so his first plan, plan A, is to make them work hard so that they haven't got time or energy to produce children or to raise them, as we see in chapter 1 of Exodus. And we see that plan fails. Plan B was that the Hebrew midwives would, as they are assisting the births of the baby boys amongst the Hebrew people, that they would actually kill them immediately they were born. And we see that in chapter 1, verse 16. That doesn't succeed very well either, and so plan C was that all the Egyptians were commanded to throw the baby boys into the river Nile. And we see that in chapter 1, verse 22. And so Pharaoh was determined to reduce the population of the Hebrew people, the Israeli people, by stopping the boys from growing into adulthood. And so as we look at the situation with Moses' mother and his adoptive mother a little bit further down the track, we see that they have choices that they have to make. And every mother has choices to make. And the key choice that these mothers made was to give life. They chose to give life. Because it's into a culture of death that Moses is born. According to the decree of Pharaoh, Moses was meant to be killed as soon as he was born. But Jochebed, his mother, was not going to give in to this culture of death, despite the threats made to her by the king's command. And so she chose to do all that she could to give him life, to allow him to live, to preserve life, to promote life. And you know, as we live in our culture, we live in a culture of death too, with many unborn children not given the opportunity to see and experience life as God intended. And then we see the world of distorted values and hate-filled ideology which promotes death rather than life, as we see around the world at the present time. And yet the Bible calls us to promote life instead of death. And mothers are provided with that glorious opportunity to bring new life into this world to live. And we know the story of Moses, how he was transferred from under the care of his biological mother into the care of the princess, the Pharaoh's daughter, who became his adoptive mother. And we see what was the amazing choices that she also made. Choices to promote life and not death. As we read in chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark amongst the reeds, the little basket that Moses was floating in, she sent her maid to get it, and when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And so she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." You see, the princess should have followed her father's orders, doing what all the other Egyptians were commanded to do, destroy all the baby boys. But what does Pharaoh's daughter do? What does this princess do? When she sees Moses in this basket, she had compassion on him and chose to offer him life, not death. She went against all that her father, the king, had instructed and commanded and demanded. She could have said, "This is a Hebrew boy, he must be killed." But she didn't. Rather, she defied that order and provided a protection around Moses, first through allowing him to be returned to his natural mother, Jochebed, who offered to raise him, to nurse him, until he was fully weaned, and this was possibly around 3 to 5 years of age. And then the princess, Pharaoh's daughter, became a mother to him until he reached adulthood. What choices she made in the midst of the culture of death in which she lived. When her own father was promoting death, she protected life. She promoted life. She took that child, Moses, and raised him as her own. The second thing that we see, get to the right spot there. Second quality that we see in the life of both Jochebed and Pharaoh's daughter is that they showed compassion. They chose to give love. And Jochebed, as she first hides Moses from the scrutiny of the Egyptians for 3 months, and then as he hollows and yells too much to be able to keep him quiet, so she puts him in this basket and places him in the river, strategically, and seeing what would eventuate. In verse 3 we read, "But she could no longer hide him. She took an ark of bulrushes for him and daubed it with asphalt and pitch and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank." She loved her son Moses. She had compassion for him, and she would do all that she could that he might be given an opportunity to live. And compassion is a mother's desire for the protection and the preservation of her child, to care for her child. Some would call it natural instinct, but the reality is it's God who has placed that compassion and love within mothers for their children. It's built into the makeup of mothers. It's the way God has wired them, to want to protect and provide the best care for their baby, their child. It's a compassion and love that wants to protect their child from danger or possible death. Does a mother ever not have that compassion or that desire to provide the best for her child? Well, it is possible, and we see that possibility in Isaiah 49 and verse 15, when we see a contrast that is given there to remind us of the great love of God. But Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Yes, God says it is possible for a woman to not have that compassion for her child, but it's not natural. It can happen in an unjust and a sinful world, but it's not God's pattern for motherhood. Extreme circumstances have driven mothers at times to abandon their children. But it goes against the inbuilt and ingrained heart instincts that God has placed within women. And God reassures all of us in this verse to be reminded of the truth that even though a mother may not show compassion and care as she should, God himself will never abandon his own. That God's love is far greater than human love. That his compassion for us outweighs anything another person could ever show for us. Jochebed, Moses' mother, was in danger of having her newborn baby taken from her and killed. And so what mother wouldn't put up a severe fight to keep and protect her vulnerable baby? Well, Jochebed was determined to do all that she could to defend the defenseless. And so was Pharaoh's daughter, for that matter too. Not even being Moses' mother, and yet she showed compassion and love upon this defenseless child. She showed the natural motherly instincts even though she wasn't a mother. In fact, she did what any human being should do, is offer protection and care for the vulnerable of our society, especially the children. And so we see the choices that these women made, we see the compassion that they had, and then we see the courage that Jochebed showed in order to provide life for Moses. She showed great courage to defy the orders of the king to preserve life. She put her own life on the line for the sake of her son. She already had a daughter. She already had a son, Miriam and Aaron. Would she not give Moses up so she could comply with the decree of the land? No, not in your life. Every child is valuable. Every child needs to be loved. And she demonstrated her courage and resourcefulness to find a way for Moses to be kept alive. She stood for what was right, despite what the king of the land was saying. We need mothers and fathers who have the courage to stand for truth and for right, to train their children, and to be parents according to God's word. And then fourthly, we see that Jochebed had confidence in God. She had faith. She believed God was bigger than her circumstances. She demonstrated by her actions her deep faith in God, the God of Israel. What difficult choices she had to make. Not many of us will be faced with those confronting kind of choices. Choices between life and death. But every choice we make will either be made from a foundation of faith or from a place of self-interest or fear. And so all choices are important in the responsibility of being a parent, of being a mother. Jochebed had to let Moses go when all her natural instincts fought against it. If we see the summary report of the life of Moses' parents in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter we call the Hall of Faith, and Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw what a beautiful child he was. And they were not afraid of the king's command." And so we see the confidence that she had in God to stand without fear, regardless of what the king had commanded. When he was promoting death, she was determined to promote life. She had to be willing to put him in the basket, not knowing what the outcome would be, but then rejoicing in God's provision when Pharaoh's daughter was willing to pay for the raising of Jochebed's own son, send her back to Jochebed and pay for that privilege. As we see in verses 7 to 9 of Exodus 2. "Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And so she got her son back again. She gave him away and got him back again for a few short years. But as we know, a little time later, she would again have to demonstrate her confidence in God that he would care for her boy. When she had to give him up permanently to Pharaoh's daughter to raise him. Verse 10, "And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And so she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" He was Pharaoh's daughter taking Jochebed's son as her own, giving him the name that we know him by as Moses. What a challenge to Jochebed's faith to have to give up her son in such a way. What a test of her faith. Could God preserve Moses through those vulnerable childhood and teenage years? Would he not become so Egyptianized that he would forget about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of their fathers, their God? Would he not begin to worship the gods of the Egyptians? Again, in Hebrews in chapter 11 and 24, we see the outcome, as we know, of Moses as he went on to grow up into adulthood and the life that God brought him through. But in chapter 11 and verse 24 of Hebrews, it says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Was God able to keep Moses, Jochebed's son, through those years? Surely he could. And here we see, as Moses came through those years, he turned to the living God, the God of the Hebrew people. He had faith. He hadn't forgotten those early years of training at his mother's feet. Jochebed had to have confidence in God that he was able to look after her son in the midst of difficult circumstances. And that's a challenge for every parent, to be faithful in raising their child, but also to have confidence in God that he is able to keep by his grace, to keep that child in the world in which they will live. Jochebed had to release Moses into a world where all was not ideal, where ungodly values were prevalent, and yet to trust that God was big enough to take care of him through those circumstances, that he could lead him and guide him and to bring him back to himself. And as we see, Moses turned to the true God. He turned back by faith to trust the living God. And so we must entrust our children to God to lead, to guide, and to keep by his grace. Jochebed made wise choices, and demonstrated by those choices her compassion, her courage, and her confidence in God to accomplish his purposes. Even though she didn't know, she didn't understand what the outcomes would be for her son, she trusted God in that moment, and she made plans that revealed her compassion and courage to stand for what was right. This morning we give thanks for mothers, and we want to encourage each one of you who are mothers this morning to keep being faithful to the calling to which God has called you to. To pray for your children, and we want to pray for you as mothers, that you'll be wise in your choices, that you'll be compassionate towards your children, that you'll be courageous in your decisions, And most of all, that you'll have confidence in God and to trust Him for all that the future holds, because He holds the future in His hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you have given life, and you have designed the process of human life coming to this world. We thank you for fathers and mothers, and today as we remember mothers particularly, we give you thanks for them. We want to acknowledge them and to honour them for the role that they have in this world, Lord, to be a mother and to raise children. We pray that you would encourage our mothers here this morning in the role that you've given them, that they'll be encouraged when life is difficult, when decisions are tough, that you'll bless them and help them to be faithful to you and have confidence in you to entrust the children into your care. Lord, we thank you for the way that you can guide and lead us each one. You have a future for us. You have a plan for us. You've given us a hope and a certainty of what your future is for each one of us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, for the confidence that we can have in you, the living God, who is compassionate and loving and gracious and merciful. We entrust ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.